Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In Psalm 60, verse 4, Thou hast given a banner to them that fear Thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Dear friend, periodically we need reminders that call attention to the overall cause of Christ, underlining why we stand where we do and what we're for, what we're against, why we exist, a restatement of our purposes, our hopes, and our goals. We need to keep primary matters in constant focus. Isaiah 13, verse 3 reads, Lift up a banner upon the high mountain. I have called by my mighty ones. It was by these words that God's prophet was about to embark upon another denunciation of the evils of Babylon and Moab and Syria and other enemies of the people of God. Now, a banner is a flag that has many uses and many purposes. We often sing of our banner that we uphold as Christians. The lifting high of the banner is a call for the rallying of troops as they go into battle. Forward into battle. See his banner go. Yes, we have a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the king. A banner is a sign of identification. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4, And his banner over me was love. When ships plow through the seas, they fly their flags, and by these flags one is able to identify the nation from which they come. Even pirates had their crossbones and skull to identify who they were. A flag shows to whom we belong and who we serve. It is an announcement on whose side we stand. It is much the same as the little story about a grandma during the war between the states when the northern troops began to march across her farm. She grabbed a broom and went out to meet them. When told she could do no good with a broom, she responded, I can at least show them whose side I'm on. Well, Psalm 74 in verse 4 says, They set up their ensigns for signs. An ensign was their banner. It was their flag. We have the hymn that says, To Christ be loyal and be true, His banner be unfurled. We unfurl the banner of Christ before a sinful world. We lift it high to openly call for battle against evil, and to acknowledge our allegiance to the Lord. And unless we do unfurl the flag, the world will not know of God, will not know of His way. We cannot accept the forces of Satan and expect them to fly the flag of salvation or the flag of redemption for mankind. A banner that remains folded or lowered, it cannot be of benefit. And what is the banner we uphold over the world? Well, as the song suggests, His banner over us is love. That's what we read a moment ago from one of the passages of Scripture. We proclaim God's love for mankind that has been demonstrated by the giving of His Son for the salvation of mankind, John 3 and verse 16. Our banner is the Christ and Him crucified. We preach not ourselves, Paul said, but Christ, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. The prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 11, And in that day there shall be a root of David, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now this was a prophecy dealing with the coming of Christ, the root of David, the father of the root of Jesse, the father of David. And Christ was the son, he was the descendant of David. Yes, we fight a warfare. We're involved in a spiritual warfare, the good fight of faith. And we fight it under the banner of Christ and His cross. We're the standard bearers, and Christ is the standard. In any conflict, the banner upheld is always the object of attack from the opposition. And Christ is under attack from infidels and modernists and humanists, from the skeptics, from liberals, from pseudo-scholars, from denominationalists, from the misguided religionists, the uninformed practitioners of evil. But by holding Christ, we defy the satanic philosophers and the theologians and the wicked of this world, because we preach Christ. We preach his vicarious death and his resurrection, the hope of glory that he offers to all who will follow him. The flag is raised as a sign of victory. Why, many of us have seen that giant statue in the city of Washington, D.C., of the raising of the flag at Iwo Jima, at the very peak of the island when it was captured. That signaled to everyone the reaching of the goal. Our banner is a symbol of spiritual conquest. We enjoy deliverance from sin, Colossians 1:13-14. We conquer temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13. We can overcome sorrow, 2 Corinthians 1:3-5. We can even defeat death, 1 Corinthians 15:57. The psalmist wrote, "Thou hast given a banner." Now, our banner has been given us by the Father. It is not of human origin. It is not of human design. Christ gave himself, Matthew 20:28. He gave himself as a ransom for all people. When our nation was very young, a woman named Betsy Ross made the first flag, and it was honored and respected as the banner of the nation. The national anthem was written with the adoration for the flag and how, in spite of bombardment, it was still flying. But how much more is the flag of the children of God to be honored and respected, and how much more stable it is. The flag is given to them that fear him. Dear friend, let's understand this. It is the duty of every Christian to lift the banner, Jesus Christ, high before the world. Those who respect him will do as they are commanded regarding this banner. And we cannot look to those outside the Church of Christ, or even the betrayers in the Church who would compromise with the enemy. We can't expect them to defend and to protect and to press forward with the Lord's banner. To be friend with the ways of the world is to declare oneself an enemy of God, James 4:4. Such inconsistent and hypocritical let's-play-church type of people have never taken seriously the fact that the banner has been placed in their hands to be held aloft. Some allow it to fall. But God looks to you, and he looks to me, Christian brothers and sisters. As another song suggests, into our hand the gospel is given, into our hand is given the light. And how do we uphold this banner? Why, we do so by word and by deed, by what we say and by what we do, by our message and our manner of life. We do so by saying as well as serving, by expression and by example. In Acts 8:4 and also verse 35, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." They were upholding the banner. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Philip was upholding the banner. We seldom hesitate to let others know that we are loyal to some athletic team or even a political party, loyal to our state and to our nation, even to our home region. Christians cannot leave all the acknowledgments of Christ to the pulpit. It's a sad commentary that with some who call themselves gospel preachers, they even send forth an unclear sound, an uncertain sound, compromising and without distinction. But to uphold the banner, we must follow the admonition of Psalm 107:2, "Let the redeemed say so." In Matthew 5:16, it teaches us to let our lights shine. Ephesians 4:1 instructs us about how to walk, how to live the Christian life. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 16, it reminds the Christian that he may be evil spoken of by evildoers, but his manner of life, his word, the conversation, it is to be good. When the life of the Christian is consistent and when it's harmonious with the doctrine of Christ, the world sees Christ living in them. All of us who profess to be Christians need to be reminded that we're the very best Christians somebody ever knows. What impression of Christ do people get from us? This banner is in our hands, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Print an unfurled banner, sends the call, rallies the troops, identifies the troops. But a banner that is furled or folded, it is of little value. Truth is what the world must hear. To display the truth, the banner must be taken from its case. A Bible in the bookcase, but not in the heart and in the mind and in the life, is like a folded flag. We must defend the honor and integrity of the banner. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. We are impressed with the account of a soldier who was severely wounded and fell to the ground. He was the soldier that was carrying a flag into battle. But even though he fell to the ground, he held his arm aloft, the arm that held the flag, and he let it not tumble unto another could take it forward. And his dying words to the next man were, "Let not the flag fall." You see, the flag represented the cause for which he fought. So must the attitude be in the hearts of Christians toward the cause of Christ. It is truth that makes men free, John 8 and verse 32, and it must not be allowed to fall or to be trampled underfoot by the enemy, lest all mankind become the loser. If we properly respect the banner, we will lift it high, and it will bring blessings to all. Let me mention briefly just three blessings. First, an open avowal of our faith is our best security against entangling ourselves again in the sinful world. An open confession of faith commits us to stand for what we believe. We protect ourselves against falling away by letting it be known that we are the friends of God. We cannot afford timidity in God's soldiers as we invade the camp of the foe, lest we be tempted to compromise. Some have criticized an aggressive warfare and a militant spirit within the heart of the Christian. They have charged that there is a lack of love in those hearts who pursue the enemy with determination and an uncompromising stand. But they have confusion in their own hearts as to what real love is. So often they equate love with a willingness to just go along with error and go along with sin, so people will not be offended. We charge that such is not a display of love, but as often as not, it's a display of cowardice. It's a desire to be accepted by men more than of God. Was it not when Peter timidly crept into the camp of the foe of Jesus and warmed himself by their fires that he became a victim to the temptation to deny him thrice? Yes, we must openly confess our faith before Christ. And secondly, holding the banner high gives courage to the faint-hearted and to the weak and to the discouraged. Philippians chapter 1, 12 through 14. But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bond in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all of the places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. When there is one who will dare to be strong, the likelihood is that others will also rise. But should there be a void of courage, few will hold the banner aloft. But thirdly, holding the banner and lifting it high, it gives the world the one and the only remedy for sin. In view of the darkness of sin in this world, seeing the plight of the lost, can we afford to be overly modest in upholding the banner of Christ and his truth before mankind, calling people to repentance? Friend, there is no solution to the ills of men other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. To keep the banner folded and place it in a corner or covered in a case, rather than in sight before everyone, is to sin against both God and man. So I would persuade, let us rally around the flag, unfurl our Lord before the world, lift him up for all to see that they might be saved. It may well be that these words will someday be heard by someone who once took hold of the banner, marched into the fray on the side of truth, but for whatever reason has allowed it to slip from his grip. Such need not be the case anymore. Through repentance and confession of sins and prayer, the negligent soldier of the cross, who is not marched faithfully behind our captain, can start again with renewed vigor and courage and determination. May it be so. And to those who are yet in sin, if you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and repent of your sins, openly confess your faith in Jesus, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, then you have seized the great opportunity with all the attending blessings to lift high the royal banner, display it before the world, Jesus the Christ, the Savior of men. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.